Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Betty Davis eyes.
So really, this is more of an advisory for people that are going to be out in the area on Saturday.
So it's not true that you're the Grand Marshal of that parade from there?
You know.
No, we're going to have a parade. It's going to be a parade for 12 hours.
As long as he goes through District 4, he'll be the Grand Marshal. He loves parades.
Ooh, I didn't catch it the first time. That's actually just a little bit of shade, too, from Lumen May. That's Lumen May talking about Robert Bender, who's the first one. Because you remember that the Baptist Hospital property in the redistricting? No, I'm trying to remember how this all took place. Because they annexed into the city, but that little portion of it's north of that. It's PCC campus is a part of District 4. It's
okay.
Kind of carved off of District 3 a little bit, and so it might be a little bit of a dig there. Lumen May is always good for a dig. Anyway, talking, of course, about the Baptist move tomorrow, and then Eric Gilmore, joking, it is kind of going to be a parade. He's the director of public safety in Escambia County.
The move will actually start at 5 a.m. that morning, so we'll be convoying ambulances in groups of three so that we're not doing onesie-twosies across intersections. They'll be escorted by the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. They'll be controlling the intersections for us. So we get to and from pretty quick and then get them turn and burn is what we're trying to do.
No onesie-twosie, but I had been imagining that it would be like, 10 ambulances at a time or whatever. Remember, we got ambulances coming in from Tallahassee, from Okaloosa County. Of course, EMS here is helping out with this.
The goal is to have them done by 5 p.m. that afternoon, so the route will come from East Street down to Palafox, not Palafox, but 29, back to Brent, and they'll drop off there. Then they'll hit the interstate, go down, and return. So they're not taking the same route back and forth. That way we're not crossing ambulances up. It's just going to be a big loop is what we're going to be doing all day long. So
we have patrol on the route, Eric?
Yes. We have control of the routes. Sheriff's Office will be, they've got 12 officers, PDs, offering up officers for the city, traffic lights and everything. So it's going to be moving pretty quick.
What PPD has told me is that the Sheriff's Office is going to maintain the intersection closures, and PPD is going to be escorting the actual ambulances around the route. So it won't be that these intersections, they're not going to close 29 or anything like that, but it's going to be like a constant parade of many funerals. If you want to think about what it's going to be like in the vicinity of US 29 and Brent Lane and E Street and
it's
then
Cortege
down
110. It's
Cortege City.
Cortege, it's a funeral procession.
Oh, thank
That's
you.
What
I didn't know. I love learning a new word.
You know how I know.
So, because your funeral director background, yeah. That's right. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow starting at 5 a.m. The ER closes at 3 a.m. If you need to go to the ER anytime after 3 a.m., go to the new one. And there's all kinds of information on our Facebook page about things like visitation. And, that's already been closed down. Or it will close down tonight. I forget now. I looked this up a second ago and then I immediately forgot. But anyway, that's all on the Facebook page. And, visitation. And when will the Panera Bread open? Tuesday. that's what people want to know. I love that Baptist put that information out because that is important information. Anyway, back to Eric Gilmore talking about this. Yeah, stay away from those areas.
So I advise everybody along the between the Legacy and the new campus to avoid being tied up in traffic and being held up at the intersection, avoid that loop area, go around it. But we won't hold anything up on the interstate. It'll be wide open going. It'll be the traffic lights from the old campus to the new campus.
Yeah, no good. And somebody texted and said, maybe that's not the best analogy phrase to use. Yeah, I know. Sorry. Thought it as I said it. Oh, well.
It starts at 5 a.m. that morning. And we'll be hopefully done, knock on wood, 5 p.m. that afternoon, knock on wood again. But I do want to say that since they're closing at 3, and in case anybody walks up to the old ER, we will have an ambulance stage there to take them to the new campus because that ER is closed down. So we have contingency for that as well in case anybody presents. So
yeah. Exactly. And that's what, we learned that from Brett Aldridge the other day. And this has just been a combined multi-agency effort. Everybody from EMS to PPD to Escambia County Sheriff's Office. As I said, some of the outside agencies from outside of our county have been working on this. And Public Works, as Eric Gilmore pointed out, there's a lot of parts to this puzzle that you want to make sure you've got in place before the day happens.
But I do want to thank the Sheriff's Office, PD. I want to thank Jamie Higdon. I mean, you don't think about the logistical wraparound services? Jamie Higdon's involved now. He's going to have fuel trucks, spare tires, a mechanic on standby, just in case we have anything break down, because we want those clusters of ambulances going together at one time. And then we've got emergency management there helping with Thor. Thor will be set up as an outside command with their staff, our staff, and everybody monitoring out there. So this is not just a simple, you know, load them up and take them across town. This is an orchestrated event. So
that is, you know, it's so brilliant. These guys are so good at what they do. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I hope that the governor doesn't realize who Eric Gilmore is, because he'll hire him for the director of public safety for the state, the emergency management director for the state. And I don't want him to go. I want him to stay here. But they think of all these things, and having tires and fuel and mechanics on hand in case, you know, one of the engines for the ambulance gives out and all of a sudden we're in a crisis because we don't have enough. That's all of that makes perfect sense. Very thoughtful. By the way, the visiting hours end at 9 o'clock tonight. They re-begin at the new campus at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So don't try to visit after 9 p.m. tonight. And all this information is up on the Facebook page. You can see it for yourself if you want to share that with people. Make sure to get the information out. Candy has traffic on the fives.
All right. Good news is we're not showing any slowdowns this morning. Pine Forest and then I-10 eastbound showing an accident. It is a little backed up on Pine Forest, both north and southbound as you're heading to I-10. And certainly that may change as we see an incident on I-10, the eastbound exit 7B. So that's where that is. Slowing things down just a little bit. We also see something in the west side at Triton Circle in Pensacola. But again, that's been cleared. And if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, you can text it in at 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's 8:16.
Let's be honest. Nobody likes taxes, but they are necessary to maintain roads, support schools, and fund public services. Wouldn't it be great if someone else paid our taxes? In Escambia County, they do. Our beautiful community draws millions of visitors who spend over $1 billion each year. The taxes they pay help lower the tax burden for locals. Tourism works for all residents and businesses in Escambia County. This message brought to you by Visit Pensacola.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on
The volunteers work tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
More news, more talk with Markley Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sometimes I make a mistake, and this is one of those times. And I thought we were playing music and doing the news. And we're not, we're doing the transgressor's ceremony. If it would load up, I would play it, and here you go. Yeah.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressor's Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for Albert Hughes, the director of the new TV series, The Continental, from the world of John Wick, for casting a long-standing anathema in the central role of Cormac, the original manager of the fictional New York Hotel for Assassins. That's right, Albert Hughes has decided to hire none other than Mel Gibson for the part. I know! I'm as shocked as you are that anyone would do this. Look, Gibson has obviously long been excommunicado for a variety of reasons, including his anti-Semitic comments, his use of the N-word during a rant against a former girlfriend, and for making such a blatantly pro-Christian movie like The Passion of the Christ, something he has never repented for. As the fifth precept of wokeness teaches us, those who platform the forbidden ones must themselves be deplatformed. Which is why we implore Peacock to deconsecrate Albert Hughes and this show before it airs tonight. But if they will not do what is right, at the very least the program should begin with an appropriately stern trigger warning for those whose delicate stomachs might turn at having to see this racist monster on screen. But a more proactive solution would be to provide viewers with an in-home blindfold and earplugs, and an on-screen warning light so they can protect themselves fully every time the Unholy One will be appearing or speaking. Now, admittedly, repeatedly putting on and taking off this protective equipment will be cumbersome and will interfere with enjoying the show. Also, we still haven't figured out how to signal them that the triggering segment is over if their eyes and ears are covered. And we do worry about seeming to culturally appropriate the reality of deaf and blind persons as a workaround for the triggering. Nevertheless, protecting themselves will at least allow our devotees to avoid the accusation that they have tainted themselves through exposure to the outcast with their own eyes and ears. If they cannot boast that they avoided the program entirely, at least they can take pride in cowering from it in silence and darkness. Do not go against us, for we are the high table of reality. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Gavin Newsom, the governor of that glorious paradise on earth, the People's Republic of California. One of the proudest moments our order ever experienced was when Governor Newsom signed Assembly Bill 1887 into law in 2016, thereby prohibiting travel to the four states at that time who were deemed to be anti-LGBT. But just as our holy acronym string only had four letters back then, and has since grown to a series of letters and symbols too numerous to count, the number of anti-acronym states has burgeoned from only four in 2016 to 26 today, after the passage of over 500 violating bills in the last 7 years. Well, the worst imaginable news came this week as Governor Newsom actually signed Senate Bill 447 into law, officially repealing the boycott and allowing state-funded travel and trade to all 50 states again. We cannot believe that the great Californiatopia has so easily abandoned our cause. Even though it might seem like the laws had no effect other than to be repeatedly violated by California officials, including Newsom himself, he went to Montana, and to drive up the cost of procurement since many suppliers were on the forbidden states list. We say do not abandon the cause. Losing 22 states in 7 years is not evidence of failure, but a reminder of how much work we have yet to do. This surrender will surely send a signal to fence-sitter states that there is now no consequence to them defecting. To reluctantly quote the Wall Street Journal, if cancel culture can die in California, it can die anywhere. And that is clearly the lesson our opponents will draw, which is why we must respond strongly against this cowardly defection by the no longer golden state and its even less shiny gold-plated leader, Gavin Newsom. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we are long overdue for giving our high praise to that international sensation and feminist masterpiece, the Barbie movie. Never before have we seen such a brilliant encapsulation of our religion in the form of a theatrical success. The way it celebrates womanhood in all of its forms and aspirations, except, of course, motherhood. The way it doesn't just reveal the wickedness of patriarchy, but pictures for us the idyllic possibility of a robust matriarchy. The way it shows the real potential for female empowerment through the confession of paradoxical gender expectation trauma. The way it shows that women are at their best when they scheme and connive to make men war against each other so as to disenfranchise them at the crucial moment of a public policy vote. And let's not overlook the overt lampooning of the Mattel Corporation under the leadership of incompetent boobs. Excuse me, board members. And of course, let's be sure to cherish the deliberate inclusion of a transgender actress as Dr. Barbie, which also has the benefit of reminding our young people that gender is in the heart and the head, even when there's literally nothing at all between the legs. Of course, Dr. Barbie also reminds viewers that the best doctors are still those who were assigned male at birth. What a triumph of our cause. However, we do have some concerns. First, even though the movie features plus-size Barbie, this is still aspirational, as Mattel in real life has so far failed to make overweight Barbie a real product available to the children. Second, we worry that the homage to 2001 A Space Odyssey in the opening scene will not resonate with most women and invite mansplaining from their romantic partners. And third, and this is the one that really pains us, it is unrepentantly harassed. It most certainly did not escape our notice that the two leading roles were cast with naturally brunette humans who had to dye their hair blonde for this movie. Now, if it were only that these two non-blondes were thereby taking away jobs from natural blondes, that would be bad enough. But for them to so offensively put on blonde face and reinforce the long-standing anti-blonde stereotype so hurtful to the blonde community is really unforgivable. Even worse, you may not be aware that Margot Robbie, a natural brunette, has previously confessed to Elle magazine that she actually dyed her hair darker all through high school and was, quote, devastated when she had to go blonde to get more leading roles in Hollywood. So although it might seem like this movie is all liberation and inclusive house parties, there's an ugly truth hidden in the roots of its hairism, and raising the question that if even someone like Margot Robbie has to pretend to be someone else to be successful, what hope is there for the rest of us? Unfortunately, the message here couldn't be clearer. Whether it's body size or gender presentation or hair color, one still must conform to cultural expectations in order to succeed, and the rest of us must never ask whether the carpet matches the drapes or the pronouns. As a justice warrior, Barbie still has a long way to go. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please be sure to donate as much as you can to the relief fund for those poor souls who spent all of their life savings on paper straws, only to learn that the toxins in paper straws are even worse than those in plastic straws. Our congregation is actively distributing straws made of metal, bamboo, or repurposed Chinese drywall to those in need in an effort to remedy this catastrophe.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
You know, my
they are hurtful words. Carpet matching
show
the
me
pronouns.
On the doll where Andrew hurt you. You know, so this my favorite part of this is. So we typically play it live at 6:20. I perform it live, and then if we do it okay, if I don't have too many glitches, we replay it at 8:20. And
right. So, and we do it every Friday. Right. Like, I know Christmas is coming, yeah. But I was preparing for the wrap. I didn't have it pulled up.
But what I love is all the people who texted in and said, oh my God, Candy, you're the best. I love that you did that. The singing
oh
of the
God. Seriously, so sorry.
Oh, it's so fantastic. Yeah,
it's so funny because I have nightmares that happens.
Oh.
Yeah, those are my dreams. Like, I'm supposed to play that.
Well, as long as the carpet matches the pronouns. Tell them no, about
I'm
traffic
off.
On
okay,
the
okay, as we take a look, it looks like, for the most part, everything is running smoothly. I-10, I-110, not showing any delays. And there was something, Pine Forest, or is something, I should say, the I-10 eastbound exit, 7B. So it is backed up on Pine Forest, both, well, it looks like southbound on Pine Forest as you're maybe trying to get on the interstate. And that's the only backup I'm seeing right now. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, or you want to tell Andrew just how great that segment is. You can do that too. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is great.
Hey, if you have any kind of a plumbing need, Barbary Plumbing, they'll take care of you. You got a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall when you turn on the faucet or flush the toilet, or the water pressure's too low, or the water temperature's, well, too low or too high, I suppose, but typically too low, right? You know, okay, Barbary Plumbing, they'll fix it. Flat rate pricing by the job, not by the amount of time it takes, so you know in advance how much it's going to cost. It's not this big mystery gamble, you know? Flat rate pricing is kind of something they pioneered. 477-8782 for Barbary Plumbing. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
The East Coast is bracing for strong winds and heavy rains from North Carolina all the way to New Jersey. Tropical storm conditions beginning in North Carolina today and spreading through north through the weekend. And city officials in El Paso and Eagle Pass, Texas, say they've got their hands full. Thousands of migrants have crossed the border from Mexico in just the last couple of days. Both cities say they're swamped with new arrivals. Immigration officials have released many of those migrants into the border towns. The University of Minnesota apparently has a new kind of apple that they're going to introduce to the world.
It has a crisp, juicy texture, sort of like a Honeycrisp, but with tropical overtones. The apple breeding program at U of M has been around for more than a century. This is their 29th variety of apple, MN33, and it will be available to consumers under the brand name Kudos in the next few years. The program's most famous apple, the Honeycrisp, was developed in 1960. I'm Mark Mayfield.
I have to say, I actually did not know that apple breeding was a thing.
Oh,
that they were actively looking for new.
I'm with you. I kind of knew and also didn't know. I think if they have created the Honeycrisp is a great apple. I mean, it really is. The pink lady is even better, but still. But if they've got a new, like, you know, West Coast Fruit Punch flavored IPA apple coming out, then, you know, I'm in. I'll try it. Although typically fruit punch is an odd flavor, but, you know, they say that's what they're. I'll try it. I'll try an apple one time. Kudos, is that the brand is called?
Kudos. That's what they say, yeah.
Oh, kudos for that. Seems obvious. All right. Coming up in just a minute, we'll do the wrap, and we'll have, actually, it's going to be very good. We have Anna Higgins and Jeremy Evans on. A lot of, like, really informed political folks. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of things in the state of Florida and issues. It'll be a lot of fun. Stick around for that. David Wayne's got your local news after Fox next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. No House votes scheduled today or this weekend on spending bills to keep the federal government funded past next Saturday. Republicans can't agree on what to do.
We have, I think, five. They're saying no. I'll say this. The worst thing we can do is shut down the government at this point.
Utah Republican Burgess Owens, South Carolina Republican Ralph Norman, also on Fox Business.
There's just a core group of us that economic security is national security. We're tired of it.
And so far, that group opposes a short-term deal to extend federal funding past the end of the month deadline. A Ukrainian missile strike hits the headquarters of Russia's Black Sea Naval Fleet in Russian-occupied Crimea. Ukraine's President Zelensky in Washington's thanking the U.S. for more military aid.
It has exactly what our soldiers need now.
Artillery rounds, anti-tank weapons, additional air defense, and other equipment. Fox confirms that migrant encounters for this fiscal year ending at the end of this month have broken last year's record. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Beautiful morning out there right now, 73 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. An Alabama man's been found guilty of murder for shooting two men and dumping them into a creek in Atmore. 42-year-old Christopher Stacy was initially charged with first-degree premeditated murder and attempted murder. However, a jury convicted him on second-degree charges. Back in June of 2018, Stacy shot Dalton Davis and Troy Boutwell. Davis died during that shooting. Boutwell survived, later died from another cause. Stacy is set to be sentenced January 11th of next year, and he could face up to life in prison on that charge. There are more vehicles being added to Escambia County Sheriff's Office's fleet, and they're not exactly covert. They're called nuisance abatement modules. Sheriff Chip Simmons says it's a marked vehicle that'll be parked in neighborhoods and outfitted with security cameras in all directions. Well, one was recently parked near a home on V Street where deputies say they'd been called 73 times in the last 3 months.
We have a strategy for major drug dealers coming in. We've been arresting them. And we have a strategy for street-level drugs. We wanted something that where we could address these nuisances, especially one like we're at now, where we had 70 calls in 3 months. And that's a lot. That's a big drain on law enforcement.
Simmons tells Channel 3 calls have ranged from trespassing, drugs, and trash to suicidal complaints. Simmons says the three vans were headed to the auction block. They decided to keep them and outfit them with surveillance cameras. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city is on track to purchase the Pensacola Motor Lodge later this year. They're hoping to get that deal done by mid-November. They want to convert it to affordable housing opportunities. Recently, they got the latest environmental report back that said it was free of asbestos.
We're still in due diligence at this point, but barring anything unforeseen with these final environmental tests, which, again, we don't expect anything, that was the big one. We were worried about some of the materials used to build and, you know, old structures. That we would proceed with the sale.
And the city offered to buy that property for $855,000 last June. A Walton County man, $1 million richer after hitting a lucky scratch-off ticket. Douglas Brewer of Santa Rosa Beach won the prize on the A Year for Life spectacular game. He opted to take that money as a one-time lump sum payment. And the SEC Women's Soccer Tournament coming back to Pensacola again here soon. After last year's tournament, SEC set attendance records. This year's tournament will start on October 29th. It'll run through Sunday, November 5th. And, of course, it'll all be over at Ashton-Brosnahan Park. And tickets go on sale beginning this morning here in about an hour and a half at 10 o'clock at the secticketoffice.com. All tournament passes are $40. Individual tickets range anywhere from $7 if you're a student or military to $12 for adult general admission. Championship game tickets, just a little bit more. And again, that tournament starts October 29th. Tickets going on sale here at 10 o'clock this morning. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Not showing anything really except for a Pine Forest. It looks like it is backed up southbound as people try to get on the interstate after there's an accident on the entrance to get onto I-10. So that's what that is. And that's the only thing that I'm seeing right now. Certainly use caution wherever you are. It looks like 98 running east and westbound. No problem. Same thing with the 3 Mile Bridge, the General Chaffee James Bridge, same bridge. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, text them in. And this is brought to you by Boost Infinite. And if you're thinking of getting the latest iPhone, you need to stop and check out the insane, amazing wireless offer from Boost Infinite and learn all about it. Just pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Boost Infinite. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Beautiful weather as we take it ahead to the weekend. Today, highs mid to upper 80s. Very little chance for any rain. Lots of sunshine. The weekend will be all dry and sunny with highs mainly in the upper 80s. Maybe a little bit warmer on Sunday. Overnight lows, too, are going to be pleasant. In most cases, running down between 65 and 70. Do enjoy. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ellen Strum with your WEAR News weather forecast.
It's 74 in Pensacola, 74 also in Gulf Breeze, and just a few degrees cooler, 71 in Milton.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend. While others ride with their growing families. But no matter how many passengers you have, there's a Volkswagen that fits your needs at Feedmore Imports. The 2023 Jetta Sport. The sleek, compact sedan now from $24,361. The Taos S, a sporty crossover with a competitive price of $25,681. The Tiguan S, with the third row, is larger and it's now $28,251. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven passengers and has style and comfort for everyone to enjoy. The 2024 Atlas SE is now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421. And the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and an abundance of tech features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 103 New Warrington Road.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Discount on the ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
Your money now. The markets are mixed this morning. The Dow's down 008 at 34.70.34. S&P 500 up 955 at 43.39.55. NASDAQ up 46.09 at 13.271.91. Our 10-year bond rate this morning is up just very slightly at 4.48%. Gold prices are up 680 at 1,946. Silver prices up slightly as well at 23.92. And if you're invested in Bitcoin, it's up 512 at 26,596.94. Unpaid medical bills might be taken off credit reports soon. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said yesterday they're expecting to issue a proposed rule next year that would bar consumer credit companies from including medical debts on credit reports. UAW President Sean Fain giving an update to union members today here in about a half hour at 9 a.m. Central Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. He set a deadline of noon for expanding their strike against the big three Detroit automakers.
It's out here is about the money. It's all about the money. If the executive's going to be making money like this, why we can't make money like this?
Auto workers like Mark Kane there remain on the picket line today. Fain looking for a 32-hour work week, pay raises of around 46%, and an end to the tiered wage system. All three companies have said those demands just can't be met. It's 8:39, your next news at 9. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. Local programming from 5 a.m. until 11 a.m. with Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Expert Panel. Local programming from 4 to 7 p.m. with Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. And local programming at night with a simulcast of WEAR-TV News. Live and local with News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, and we kind of have a hybrid wrap today. We typically like to have people in studio with me, but we're trying something because I particularly wanted to have both of these people on today, and one of them is in Jacksonville, so she was willing to call in Jacksonville, one of the top 10 swamp cities of Northeast Florida. So Anna Higgins, a lawyer and a lobbyist, and L&L as we like to call it in the industry, nobody calls it that. Anna, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hey, I'm excited to be with you. Thanks for letting me call in.
Absolutely. And in studio, we have a repeat offender again for the rap, one of my other favorite people, Jeremy Evans. Jeremy, welcome back to the rap.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great.
How are you, Anna?
Hi, Jeremy. I'm doing great. Thanks.
And by the way, I didn't know this, and I learned it because when I was texting you each who the other person was, and apparently you all are in-law related.
That's
and I didn't
correct.
Know that.
Yes.
Okay, so nice. So today's a family affair. Fantastic. All right. I'm going to play an audio clip, actually two, because in case people did not hear it earlier in the week, I just want to make sure we get the information out to everybody so they know what we're talking about. Because to me, this was one of the biggest national political stories of the week. It kind of didn't get a lot of attention after Monday or Tuesday, but this was President Trump with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press. Oh, can you turn my computer on there for a second? There we go.
If a federal ban landed on your desk, if you were reelected, would you sign it at 15
weeks? Are you talking about a complete ban?
A ban at 15 weeks.
Well, people are starting to think of 15 weeks. That seems to be a number that people are talking about right now.
Would you sign that?
I would sit down with both sides and I'd negotiate something, and we'll end up with peace on that issue for the first time in 52 years. I'm not going to say I would or I wouldn't. I mean, DeSantis is willing to sign a 5-week and 6-week ban.
Would you support that? You think that goes
too far? I think what he did is a terrible thing and a terrible mistake.
So, yeah, it was 49 years, not 52 years. That's irrelevant. The relevant part is that he's criticizing Governor DeSantis for a 6-week abortion ban bill that he signed. And then the follow-up to that was on Radio Iowa on Monday. Governor DeSantis said this.
I don't know how you can even make the claim that you're somehow pro-life if you're criticizing states for enacting pro-life protections for babies that have heartbeats.
So let's start here. Anna, you've worked for years in the pro-life realm. You've been a pro-life lobbyist and activist and writing legislation. And I mean, you are the, of all the people I know who I would call an expert on this, this topic, you are that expert. I have been very curious to know whether the committed core evangelical pro-lifer who loves Trump and is a true Trumper, how they're taking this sudden very difficult thing, because it seems to me like a very difficult thing. But you tell me, what have you learned?
Well, that's a great question. I've been conducting some informal research amongst people and organizations I know that are longtime Trump supporters, but this is their abortion is their big issue, and it is mine as well. But you know, it seems to be like his Rubicon when it comes to the reaction from these organizations and people who have been Trump supporters, and chalk it up to a sincere miscalculation or hubris, however you want to define it. But his statement has turned, to the last person I've talked to, turned these people to other candidates other than Trump in the Republican primary. Wow. It has been the line in the sand for them. And I don't know, you know, it seems like Trump knows the statistics. DeSantis knows the statistics. I wish every candidate would point out the fact that over 90% of abortions take place before the 15th week.
Right.
So, you know, that's what DeSantis should be repeating in his talking points every time he's in the public eye. And, you know, from the evangelical Christian Trump-supporting perspective, this is their line in the sand.
Well, see, I My analysis was that I had read a couple of the quotes from leaders in the pro-life movement who had said something along those lines, but I was genuinely curious because I know people in my personal life who are, you know, they've been sold out for Trump since the day he came down the stairs and the escalator, and nothing has ever pushed them even an inch off that position, and I wondered if this would be it. Jeremy, what's kind of your take on this?
So I think that my assumption when I hear this is President Trump is, and I think it's obvious as his actions are, he's running a general election. He's not running a primary election. He is already running for president as though he has the Republican nomination. And he, if you look at some of the statewide initiatives that Kansas, Wisconsin, some of these places where the pro-life issue has come up and it has not gone the way the pro-life folks would have liked it to have gone.
Right.
I am assuming that President Trump is moving in that direction. My caution would be, and I actually looked this up this morning before I came, September 2015, so where we were 8 years ago, if you look at the polling, Jeb Bush is doubling up the field. Carly Fiorina is in second. Ben Carson's in third. Donald Trump is in fourth. And so you kind of have this inverse of where we were 8 years ago, where Donald Trump is way out in front, and then there's kind of DeSantis and then a group after that, that you cannot forsake what's going to happen in a presidential primary just because it looks like you are way out ahead in the field at today's time and point.
Yeah, I think that the real question is going to, and look, I hate polling, hate it, like despise it, want it to be illegal, hate it, just because for all kinds of reasons. But for me, what I've really been curious to know is in a week or two when this has fully percolated to everybody who it would be relevant to, what will the polling show, particularly among the core Trump supporters who are, you know, again, the kind of committed pro-life activists, evangelicals or Catholics or whomever? I've been curious. So we're talking to Anna Higgins and Jeremy Evans here on The Wrap. We're going to take a quick break and get Candy in here with Traffic on the Fives.
This brought to you by Knox Pest Control. It's K-N-O-X. Knox knocks them out. And taking a look around, the only thing that we see, Pine Forest Road, the Pine Forest I-10 eastbound exit 7B is backed up. It's backed up on Pine Forest southbound after an accident in that area. If you see an accident or a slowdown or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. We are News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So just one quick follow-up on that. Let's imagine you're correct, Jeremy, that this is not Trump displaying his ignorance. This is Trump making a strategic choice about running for the general, assuming he's got the nomination in hand. Is it... Is he lying? I mean, is he, you know, does he really think that a 6-week ban is a mistake? And has he just really miscalculated the significance of this issue to the GOP voter?
I don't know.
Well, you're,
go ahead.
Yeah,
Anna.
Go ahead.
No, Anna, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say you, Jeremy, made a great point about, you know, the polling from 2015 or what the field looked like. This opens the door a crack to the other candidates in the primary. But that's a great question. Is he lying? I think he is and has always held the same position on abortion, perhaps. I don't know that it's a lie. I think that exactly what Jeremy said, he's running for the general, and he is going to try to appeal to what the current situation and political climate is.
Okay, fair
and
enough.
And I think he's always got in his back pocket, I appointed the two Supreme Court justices
absolutely,
that overturned
yeah.
Roe versus Wade. And
yep.
So every kind of time that maybe I misspeak, and he's always been, and I think one thing that happens in Trump world is every decision to him happens in a vacuum. Everything is a deal. Everything is a different set of situations, and every conversation is different. There is no history of... this happens, so then this happens.
Yeah.
It's everything moves forward. But I do think he ultimately on this issue has the, for lack of a better word, trump card of trump cards.
Yeah.
If I wasn't president, we would still have Roe versus Wade.
And I think that's a fair thing for him to say. It's certainly, you know, every pro-lifer knows that. The question is, and what are you doing for me in the next 4 years?
Yeah.
And what will it mean for us in the next 4 years? Because we've already got the majority. We don't need more majority. What we need is state by state, because that's where we're at now, or some kind of a federal ban that we like a little bit better. Switching gears now, talking about state politics. Oh, my God, we are facing the cascade of cascades when it comes up for not necessarily next year, but the year election after that, the gubernatorial, right? Okay, if DeSantis wins, then he will, of course, leave the governor's office and Jeanette Nunez will be the governor for 2 years. And then we're looking at 2026 and who's going to run for governor. And Matt Gaetz is the number one thing that people keep thinking. Byron Donalds is another one that people keep thinking. There's a thought that his dad, obviously former state Senate president, Don Gaetz, would run for the what will also at that time be the vacated seat, District 1, that right now you have Doug Broxson occupying because he will term limit out. So you could theoretically have a Gaetz and a Gaetz, if that's even possible. So let me start with you, Anna. Do you think Matt's running for governor? And, I mean, what do you see actually happening in this cascade, if anything?
I think, what was leaked about him potentially running was not an accident. and I think it is actually highly probable. Will it happen? It's difficult to say because so many things can happen in that amount of time.
Sure.
It's hard to foresee who else will be potentially getting in. Maybe Ashley Moody.
Jimmy Patronis.
And maybe Lieutenant Governor will put her name in as well. But what I know for a fact is that there are multiple interests. And, of course, we saw the interaction between Matt Gaetz and Byron Donalds on what used to be Twitter this week as well. So that gives me even more of a clue.
So I am not on the social media platform owned by Elon Musk very often. I go there occasionally for various things, but I don't hang out there. Jeremy, you're on there more often. What did happen between Byron Donalds and Matt Gaetz this week?
There was just some, I think there was some conversation about the votes that happened yesterday and the
related
the
to the NDAA.
And some back and forth about, let's be serious. Matt, blah, and some back and forth. And I think that you have
and
to...
And the pending vote on the government shutdown and the budget and Kevin McCarthy's speakership and all of that. Yeah.
So I think that there are so many question marks that happen when you start talking that far in the future. There is, if Governor DeSantis becomes President DeSantis, you have a sitting governor running for re-election in Jeanette Nunez, which changes the dynamics as opposed to if Governor DeSantis does not become President DeSantis.
We might finally find out who she is.
Yeah, and then I think that Matt Gaetz' number one priority right now is to ensure that Donald Trump becomes elected president because he's so tied to all of that world. I will say this, love Matt Gaetz, hate Matt Gaetz. A governor from Northwest Florida can only be good for Northwest Florida.
Right,
there
absolutely.
Is no bad side to that. So if you despise Matt Gaetz, having the governor reside in Northwest Florida would be a tremendous boon for Northwest Florida.
Is Ruben Askey the last one?
Yeah, I believe so. And that was in a time where it was a whole different world.
Yeah.
And so I think that there is something to be said that it could be tremendous for Northwest Florida to have the governor be from here. And that's a point that as you're talking and thinking about this, he would be the first viable guy to run for governor in a significant amount of time from our area.
And I think one thing I know about Matt is Matt's not going to go unless he thinks he can win.
Yeah.
And also my one concern though about him is, and obviously he sees the pattern, Governor DeSantis was in the House and Governor DeSantis went into the governorship. And so he knows that pattern. He's seen that happen. My concern is I think there are people who are born to be executives and there are people who are born to be legislators. I think Matt is born to be a legislator. I wouldn't have known DeSantis was born to be an executive. Like Rick Scott was born to be an executive, right? I was surprised he went into the Senate. I was surprised he could even be happy in the Senate because one of 100 is a frustrating thing to be, especially in a Republican minority. But that's my one thought is I'm not convinced that Matt wants to be governor. What do you think, Anna?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you mentioned DeSantis and I'm, not pulling for any one candidate, but I'm saying his style of governing and his effectiveness in governing is really unparalleled right now, I think, and just the way that his ability to govern in that executive role. And what you're saying about Matt Gaetz being born to be a legislator, I absolutely agree. he's brilliant when it comes to this debating back and forth and, you know, talking with his colleague, being one of, you know, 435 or whatever the number is. And
right.
I think absolutely you're right. I think everybody has a little bit of a different finesse when it comes to whether they should be legislative or executive. And I think DeSantis really has that governing aspect. For all his other maybe not so wonderful qualities, he's very effective at governing.
And I don't mean that as a, you know, necessarily a criticism of Matt. I've said this for myself.
Right, right.
I would be miserable as the governor. I would not be good at it. People say, Andrew, why don't you run for I don't want to be an executive. I'm not good at making decisions. Let me argue and fight and reason. You know, that's the thing. I would be a legislator, if anything. We're going to take another real quick traffic timeout. We'll be back with Anna Higgins and Jeremy Evans in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Just brought to you by the Gates Pride Parade. See?
See what you did?
I had to see what I did. Okay.
And legal marijuana.
Thank you. Oh, no. As we take a look at our roads, everything is running smoothly now. It looks like Pine Forest is doing just fine. South is still a little slow, but clearing up. And if you have a traffic tip, of course, just text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Maybe if Matt Gaetz becomes governor, James Caulkins can be his press secretary. Joke. 856 on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, my God.
Anna just fell off her chair.
I did.
We'll give you a second to recover. Okay, let's talk about the other part of the cascade, though. So if it does happen, Senator Brockson is going to leave office. You know, he's going to be termed out. One theory is that, Don Gaetz would run for that seat. If Matt leaves Congress, that opens up the congressional seat. Michelle Salzman? Grover? I don't think Grover has enough, regional appeal, but... somebody who's known enough around the... who runs for... could be Senator Brockson runs for... Who do you think runs from D1 for the congressional seat if it's open? Jeremy?
I think Michelle Salzman is the first candidate in the race.
Yeah.
The other names that you've heard, it's one of those things I would eat a shoe if Grover Robinson could win a Republican primary.
Yeah.
That's just not... could he win a general election, perhaps? Could Grover Robinson win a Republican primary? I don't see that ever happening. The superintendent from Okaloosa County, Marcus Chambers, has been a name that has been mentioned significantly a lot of times. I don't think that he would do it. The one thing that people talk about Don Gaetz running for the state Senate seat, there's already a great candidate in the race for state Senate, Frank White,
right,
who was... close to winning attorney general statewide,
right.
And probably our two, there's Matt and, Frank and is a tremendous candidate. Don is a tremendous candidate. If there was really a race between Frank White and Don Gaetz for state Senate District 1,
that would be a very difficult thing.
It would
be
a difficult race and probably the most watched state Senate primary in the state.
Right.
Because both of those people are tremendous. So Frank White is somebody who I don't know that he would want to run for it. I know at times there's been a list of names. David
Stafford. If Don gets into the Senate race, maybe he runs for Congress instead?
Yeah. David Stafford could be somebody who would make...
He's always begged off it. Whenever I've asked him about this, he always, I'm good being the supervisor of elections. Yeah.
I think that there are lists of names that everybody would want to look at that race. But I think Michelle Salzman is definitely the candidate who is the most...
the obvious one who would want it and would have a lot of support to go for
it. I don't know that Alex wouldn't consider it.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I don't know that Alex wants to go to D.C. with the baby anyway, but
I think Doug Brockson is ready to hang his hat up and enjoy the rest of his...
I think that's right,
He's been a tremendous servant to the community, but I think he's...
Anna, we're almost out of time. Sorry we didn't give you a lot of time there, but your thoughts on that?
No worries. So Frank White, he's filed for Brockson's seat. Brockson has been an amazing advocate for Northwest Florida.
Agreed.
And whoever ends up in that seat, I think, will be a good advocate. But I think that would be a really interesting race no matter how it goes.
I worry that it would be ugly, even though both of those people would not typically race that way or campaign that way. It would be potentially the most... You would have a real opportunity for genuine, meaningful civil discourse in a highly contested Republican primary, if that winds up being the candidate slate that we're looking at. Harry Higgins, Jeremy Evans, thank you guys so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Local thank talk you. In the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
The big move for Baptist Hospital starts tomorrow morning.